Have you ever had like a really incredible nectarine?
Oh my God, wait, we haven't talked about this.
Oh my God, I'm gonna send them to you. So
please.
Wait,
there's ones I can like purchase.
Yeah, but
and like, be sent.
But the season's ending, I think, so we have to like act fast.
I swear it was like an out of body experience when I just ate the nectarine.
No, you have no idea. So Mike's cousin knew, she's like super thoughtful, and we were by the pool one day and I was talking about how I've been like devouring peaches, like buying like 10 a week and just like devouring them. And
I eat them with no kids around because I don't want to share.
No, like before bed, like I eat two peaches before bed. But like peaches, not nectarines, to be clear.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely a difference with the distinction.
I will say like a nectarine typically I feel like would be more like quenchy because like you can keep them cold better, I feel like, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, she was like, oh my God, there's this place that like her cousin gets them like shipped in from.
Where?
And
I need like, more.
Well, she
info.
Said from Georgia, like a Georgia peaches.
A Georgia peach?
Yeah. So then, whatever, typical like ADD, I'm like, okay, like that's really cool. Like, sounds amazing. I forgot about the conversation. And then a week later, she's like, will you be home on Thursday? Something's getting delivered to your house. You have to like bring it in immediately. I was like, oh my God, like so intrigued. Had no idea what she was talking about.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And yeah, it was really, really sweet. But she sent me two boxes of these peaches. Spoiler alert, they're actually not from Georgia. We were like dying. Oh. It's called the Peach Truck and they ship them, but it's actually out of Nashville, Tennessee. They're not Georgian peaches.
Wait a second.
But, oh my, you think you're like, oh, like, all right, here's another. No. These, if you think you had a good peach, like, even
I'm
Mike
salivating.
Was like, oh, even Mike was like, this is unbelievable. Like you forget what peach is supposed to taste like until you have one of these peaches.
Okay, you need to send them to me ASAP because
I'll send them to you.
It's unbelievable. I like thought it was a fake nectarine because of how good it tasted.
Yeah, no, like you're gonna die. You're literally gonna die.
I can't wait.
They give you really specific instructions of like when to put in the fridge and whatnot. And usually, again, when you're getting them from the grocery store in New Jersey, if it's, you know, you're putting in the fridge, it's a little bruised, a little soft. Like, you're like, eh, it's going to lose the flavor. No.
Yeah. Oh.
No. It might as well have been sorbet biting into this thing.
Oh, man. I am salivating. Like, I'm drooling.
No. The first time I bit into it, I was like, this is so good. And Mike thought I was being dramatic. And then he had one. And he was like, oh, my God.
I cannot wait to get these peaches. How many come in a box? A lot.
I'm trying to use my visual brain, my visual memory.
Like I'm thinking like a box of 12. So if you got
that
like
seems right.
Right. Yeah. Like three rows of four or four rows of three.
Might have been 12.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Might have been about 12.
Okay. I cannot. Just I literally am drooling.
I'm drooling. No, it's so good. Oh, my God. I'm so happy you mentioned this. It's so funny. It's like kismet because it's been like the theme for the week.
True. It's so true. I love peaches, but nectarines these days, the lack of fuzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just something about the smoother skin of a nectarine that it really has been getting me going.
The crispiness. It's the crispiness.
Yeah.
The peach adds an extra layer that the nectarine does not have.
Right. It's like a thicker epidermis.
It is. But
it just is.
You'll like these. You'll really like these.
I truly cannot wait. I'm so excited. Also in the vein of food, I know I sent this to you on Instagram. But I really need to talk about it here. Yeah. And I'm realizing, like, we've started this episode and didn't say hello.
Oh, what do we say? Hi, my beautiful bestie. How you doing today?
Hello, my beautiful bestie. We're going to keep on talking about food.
Okay.
So, okay, I sent this to you on Instagram, but there needs to be a space to talk about it with you here. cereals cannot be trusted. And I'm having a very hard time.
We're still
I cannot get over it. I had Kashi and the Canadian or Cascadian Farm organic cereals in our pantry. And now we haven't thrown them officially away yet because Ryan's still eating them. But every time he goes to like make a bowl, I'm like, you're going to eat that, weed killer? You're going to eat that?
Yeah. Listen.
Help. Listen. Help me. Help me cope.
I mean, it's just, it's everything. Like, you can do this to anything. And I think it goes with parenting. It goes with being an adult. Just, like, being a citizen of the world.
True.
Once you learn something and you have the knowledge, it is your choice to assume that risk.
True.
So you either proceed forward and say, like, this is just not something I'm choosing to take on currently. Or you say, you know what? I can't unlearn that. I'm done on cereals. And there are options. But what? There's like the really clean, I forget what the brand is. There's
Magic Spoon.
No, all of them are like.
I need options. I think that's my PSA. Like, okay, I thought I was getting the right options because there's like metals in Cheerios. So I was like, okay, I'll get the other brands that are organic. And now that they have more weed killer than the regular cereal, I'm like really not well with it.
It's also like, not to like further doom spiral on this, but it's also important to remember like how many things that you have in your household also have those types of chemicals in them. Like,
oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not as simple as like buying organic anymore. It's really not. And there's like so many spirals you can go down. So I think it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, for example, if you're going to, I'm trying to think, like, let's not talk about food. Let's talk about like chemical toxic products in your house, like cleaning products.
True.
Like, okay, if there are certain things that you're like, this is a non-negotiable for me, like I don't use anything that has X in it because I know that to be a carcinogenic, then like there's ways to filter and find those things. You can use the EPA apps and like the EWG apps and things like that. And you can get really focused on that. I'm sure if you use the Yuka app, you could get really focused on this stuff. And then like, make an active choice to only buy X. But like, how many products are you buying right now that have like yogurt that sits in plastic containers?
Yeah, the plastic stuff like, also gets me spiraling.
You know, like, do you use any sort of Tupperware at home? Or are you all glass? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Even just like, there's just so many things. And you just have to make an active choice of like what you're going to care about and what you're not, period.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's really hard. It's because, hard like, not to spiral.
That stuff's been in the food forever. And like, not to say like, again, it's just like, it's making an active choice. Like, we really don't bring water bottles into the house, period.
Yeah,
like same. That's like an example of something. It's like once it was in my brain, like we just stopped doing it. And it's not something that one day, like I was like, you know what? It's just easier to have them. Like, no, we literally don't have water bottles at the house. I would love to have a Poland Spring like jug, like dispenser of cold water, but like, no, we don't do that because it's just like, I can't unlearn that or unhear that.
Agreed.
This just might be one of those things for you.
It totally is, but I feel, I think it's when you're actively ingesting something, like the chemical stuff in like household products. I know it probably has the same type of effect or impact, but like that, I can rationalize a little bit better.
Right. It's the assuming the risk.
Exactly. It's like the active choice of putting something in my mouth or giving it to my children and having them eat it that like I can't unthink about. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's everything. What can be trusted?
No. And that's the thing. It's everything. Like when it comes to detergents and things like that, like Ben, like, household cleaning products, like we are really like, that's again something I can't really unlearn on. So like there's a lot of things I don't use in the house, but again, like that's because like I'm assuming like that's a risk I'm not willing to assume,
right?
If that makes sense. Even just with parenting, like we talk about all the time, like, do you co-sleep with your kids? Do you you know, nap them in, you know, Snuggle Me.
Right. That's been recalled three times. Like, right. Yeah.
you just have to make that choice and what's best for you and your family and assume that risk. And then you pivot. And then so all of a sudden that will be out of your house if that's something you choose. And then you like find something else that.
So true. So true. Okay. Anywho.
My office has been so hot. I don't know why. It's like the air isn't, it is working, but like.
You're drenched. Like you're dripping. Just
freaking mic. I just feel like I'm suffocating.
Oh no.
I need to unzip this meat suit that I'm wearing.
The meat suit. I can't unhear you say that. Mm-mm. I'm dead. Need
to unzip it. I'm just like.
It's a lot. In this humidity too. It's a lot. How are you feeling? 25 weeks?
Something yes. like that. Something like that. Yeah, I think 25.
25 weeks.
Does the second trimester start 27 or 26?
So it actually officially, wait, starts or ends?
Starts. Like, when can I say I'm in the third trimester? When oh, I'm 27 okay. weeks?
No, 28 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I'm pretty certain. I like see the what to expect timeline in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the third trimester officially starts the 28th week.
All right. Well, I'm probably not going to go past 39 weeks, so I'm just going to start saying I'm in the third trimester at 27 weeks.
No. Wait until.
No, I'm just going to be like, I'm in the third trimester.
You're so funny. Well, it's very pertinent to what we're taking on today, Melissa Rose, right?
It sure is. We are taking on, as I pull up our playbook,
I actually like that you aren't on the playbook because I feel like this is going to be perfect.
Because that was the intention for
yeah,
today.
Yeah, exactly. We're taking on multiple kiddos. It's a reflect a clock of our jump from 1 to 2 kids, which we did way back when. I don't even remember what episode number, but it was a great episode.
Great episode.
Takes us a while to get to the meat and potatoes.
Was that the episode?
Yes. So we're going to really like get right to the meat and potatoes today.
Right to it.
I would say that episode is more granularly specific about what to do pre-transition.
Correct.
And then like when you have the baby, when your child meets the baby, when your baby meets the child, when you bring baby home. So if you're more interested in that, go listen to that episode first. Mm-hmm. Today, we're really leaning into the reflect a clock of once you're in the thick of the transition, kind of high level things to think about. And this, I have a ton of two truths, no lies interwoven throughout.
Love it.
And just thoughts that like, I literally word vomited or some vomited that I wanted to like text you. And I was like, no, like this has to be an episode in and of itself.
Amazing. I think like also the first episode was more of a concrete grenade. Like here are some books you can read again to double click on, go back and listen if you're about to go through this transition. Because as someone who still only has one, I found it so helpful. And like just all the little nuggets I've really been circling back to over the last two trimesters, like in preparation for this baby. So definitely more of a concrete grenade, whereas with this one, I think it feels like it's going to be more of like an emotional vaccination.
Exactly. Emotional vaccination, things to think about, things to make sure you're giving yourself as it relates to just thoughts and mantras and just I'm excited to kind of share with you one nugget and then open up the conversation. I think that's probably the best way to structure this. Does that sound good?
Love it so much.
Okay, amazing. So again, I have like a ton of two truths, no lies to share, but one that really came up for me the other day and I was like, oh, I have to tell Mel this. So it was bedtime and we were in a really good groove. Like we were having a great day. I was doing solo bedtime. My youngest just turned 2.5 and my oldest is going to be 5 in September. And I just looked at them and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, each day is not the same. Like quite literally, I was just having such a sappy moment because before my youngest was born, I would like get so somber and emotional during bedtimes, like, we're never gonna be like this ever again. Like, no shit, you're never gonna be like that ever again because that's not how each day works.
Right.
So when you're about to like bring in a new baby and you're thinking about melding them into your day-to-day right now is going to be very different than your day-to-day in a couple of months. So don't forget that. I wish I gave myself that advice then, because each day is quite literally not the same, and that is by design.
I love that. It's such a good thing to come back to. And when it's the, what is it? When it's good, it's so, so good. And when it's bad, it's so, so bad. Like,
yes.
It's kind of an extension of that too. Like when you're in it and if you're feeling like emotional about like, oh, what's it going to be like when there's two, or stressed, what's it going to be like when there's two or three or four? Each day's not the same.
Exactly. So, like, exactly. Right. I just shared a really positive anecdote with you about that. And on the flip side, yesterday, ahead of this full moon today, did you know it's a full moon tonight?
No, but that makes sense.
I know. I was like, oh, great. That checks.
That checks.
Each day is not the same. And thank the Lord for that.
Literally.
I don't want to do that bedtime again. Right. Yeah. So today's a new day to try it. So it's just like staying grounded in that. Babies are so wonderful, and that doesn't mean that there won't be distress and frustration and sadness and loss and fear. Two truths, no lies. The most amazing things in our life usually come with their share of challenges.
Yeah, they sure do. Oh, I love that.
Right? So ahead of the transition, or if you're in the thick of the transition right now, stay grounded in that. Each day is not the same. Especially when you're continuing to raise a child and simultaneously on the path of raising a newborn too.
Yeah.
So
I love it. I can't wait to dive in deeper.
Okay, great. So let's keep going. So in that vein, right, we know transitions are hard. Having a baby is hard. And having a baby is actually an ongoing transition, right? No day is the same. You're learning. You're getting new playbooks. We talk about that all the time. And having two babies is an ongoing transition that's multiplied. So I talked last time or in the first episode that love multiplies, it doesn't divide, like high level concept to stay grounded in. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And today I kind of want to explode that part a little bit. And the concept of multiplication, just my nerdy teacher self, it's repeated addition, quite literally. And your groups increase by virtue of having another child. So because of that, everybody's needs are increasing too. Mm-hmm. Your needs are increasing. Their needs are increasing. So much so, right? Like, let's get really granular. You're not just feeding one child. You're feeding two. Mm-hmm. There's two bellies that need to be fed. There's two tantrums that need to be quelled. Maybe at the same time, maybe back to back. There's two bathroom experiences that you have to do and deal with, and then your own at the same time, right? There's two voices that need to be heard. There's two backs that need to be rubbed at night. There's two bodies that have to be bathed. So there's two babies or bodies that have to be put to sleep. And whatever the transition is, there's two people to transition, whether those transitions are small or big. So what does that bring up for you? Or what does that make you think about that you're like, okay, I actually kind of want to like talk more about that in particular?
I think two things. So first is just like a factoid. I think it was Eve Rodsky who said like they found the proper equation for like support related to children and like your in regards to your village is three adults to every one child. So if you have one child, it's two parents or two caregivers and then one like really involved supportive person in the village, right?
Yeah.
And if you have two children, it's the two parents and then two more.
Yeah.
Right?
It all multiplies.
Yeah. It all multiplies, exactly. Yep. So I've been thinking a lot about that and that like our support when it comes to our daughter, like my mother-in-law is our like number one P1 like support system with her. And we have a good groove with that. And she lives around the corner. And like right now that really is like once a week, truly once a week. She's helping after school with her, with pickup and everything. And it is a great, great system. And I find myself thinking, like, not only, like, logistically, what that's going to look like a year from now, like, logistically, like, she can't multiply. She works full time. Like, she has a lot on her plate. But also, like, from an emotional standpoint, like, how does that multiply for her, right? Yeah. Like, the system that we put into place was actually out of a place when I was pregnant with my first. She was coming to us saying, I want one day a week with the grandbaby. Knowing she worked full time and everything, I want that one day a week. I really, really want it. And we're like, great. Like, that would be lovely. And then as time transitioned and we're like, you know, I think she's ready to go to school full time. Like, she loves it there. She needs it. It's getting harder for you to be able to balance working and that. But what if you did one night after school? You can pick her up and, like, you can do dinner with her and have that special time. And now I'm thinking, like, oh, but, like, she can't do that 2x with these babies. And, like, what's that going to look like? And, again, it's the A, logistical component of it, but B, also, like, the emotional and trying to be, like, mindful of that. And, like, these are things I'm thinking about on top of the 800 million other things I'm thinking about for my own self and my daughter and whatnot, but truly, like, the logistical and the emotional multiplication for, like, the people around us in our village.
That's it. Right. It's for you and also the impact on the people who are also taking care of your children who are in your village. You just made me also think about something when you said logistical, like, gymnastics. We know that when you go from zero children to one child, you learn, like, oh, wait, I can't just, like, run in somewhere really quick to run a quick errand. Like, a quick errand is 30 minutes, right? Yeah. And then it's just, like, that logistical groove of figuring out, like, okay, I'm going to put this one in the car seat. And then – but this one might not want to put their shoes on. So it's just, like, you're being thrown these constant logistical equations to solve. Mm-hmm. And – again, each day is not the same. You find your groove, you figure it out. But to your point, it's such a holistic impact on your village, on you, on everybody in your circle, because you are literally adding another person to your family.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful thing, but also what a tricky thing.
And it's important to remember it's on a robot, right? Like, I think one big difference between this pregnancy and and my last is that I think we can all relate to being a bit naive with your first pregnancy. And you think if you read all the books and you do all the things, even if you're, like, the most realistic person, you're like, I have the resources. I have the playbook. Like, if I do all these things, this is what will happen and this is what I can expect. And, like, I know now. I know better, right?
Of course.
Like, I know, like, I'm going to try all the things that, like, seemed to work the last time and I'll pivot and we'll do it best. But, like, this is going to be a human. It's going to be a different human than my first human. So what worked for her might not work for him.
Correct.
And we're just going to have to do the best we can. And that's we don't know what things are going to look like or feel like, even with the best plan in place.
Exactly. And that's why you have to give yourself the grace. My experience, I felt definitely more confident welcoming our second kiddo because it wasn't as new. There were new things, of course, that we were navigating, but it wasn't this complete lifestyle shift of, oh my gosh, we didn't have a kid and now we have a kid, to, like, oh yeah, we're in the daily grind of breakfast and snack and lunchtime and nap time and this and that, that it was just like, okay, we're adding another fun little person to this beautiful chaos. And that's what we're going to have to learn along the way. Like, what is that groove? What worked then that is actually not working now because you have someone new? And those are, like, the evolution of those playbooks. And when you read it or think about it ahead of time, even this conversation, it's hypothetical for you.
Yeah.
We're laying the groundwork and giving you some tools that could work. But at the same time, until you're in it, you don't know. One thing that I wanted to, like, super double click on for you, because we're very similar in this way. When we arrive at overstimulation station, which is such a fun place to be in.
Us as moms.
Us as moms. Yes, correct. Not not the kids. Well, the kids might be overstimulated, which might trigger our overstimulation. Correct.
But yeah,
ours. So you, the radio stations that are coming at you multiply too, whether it's a good one or a bad one. So your youngest will have very important things to say, whether they're using language or not. They're going to communicate to you in the way that they can in that moment. And then your oldest is going to have really important things to say to you at the same friggin' time.
Yeah.
And then your internal radio increases too. And the amount of times like, no, systems shutting down. So you figure that out. You learn, like, I remember there was one time where I just was crying. It wasn't like everyone wanted to share something happy and positive with me. It was like everyone is having a tough time and they want to talk at the same time. And I just started crying. Like, mommy's overstimulated. We're all having a hard time right now. And that's okay. It won't last forever.
I think, like, honestly, all joking aside, like, the naming it is so important. I was just listening to a podcast, and one of the moms was talking about how, like, she names that. And yes. She says, like, right before she, like, feels like she's going to snap, and she was talking about, like, reparenting ourselves and, you know, so on and so forth. And she's like, I tell them, mom's going to have it's about to have a lot of big feelings right now. Yeah. I feel my big feelings come on. I need to walk away.
Yes.
And I need to take some deep breaths and take a minute. I'll be back. But yes. I'm just letting you know, like, I'm about to have some big feelings. And
yes.
Honestly, like, we hear these things, but until I was listening back to it, I was like, I need to start doing more of that, because, like, I'm asking her to do that, my daughter. Like,
totally.
I'm asking her to take a deep breath and do these things. Like, I need to show her what, when and why I'm doing it before I get there.
1,000%.
And it's so, A, naming it in that moment. Like, and when you're crying, saying, like, I'm having a lot of big feelings right now. Too many radio stations on.
They're coming out.
Last night we were sitting down at dinner and, you know, we've talked about how the timer starts the minute the child sits down. And just – I did the best I could, but, like, Mike happened to be home yesterday, working from home, and by the time I got our dinner on the table, like, she was, like, 30 seconds. Like, she was like, okay, I want to go in the playroom. I want to go do this. I want to do that. And we said to her, like, okay, after, like, go ahead. We'll meet you in there when we're done. Like, we're finishing. And it was just like, I want to do this. I want to do that. Come with me. Mommy, come with me. I was like, I'm going to set a 5-minute timer for mom and dad to finish dinner.
Yes.
And when mom and dad's timer goes off, they can get up from the table and come play with you.
I'm obsessed.
And she was like, kind of, it, like, took, maybe gave me 30 seconds of wiggle room. And then she's like, blah, 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 like, in our ear, I want to play. And then the dog starts. And then Penelope, the dog, starts growling and barking at us because she wants something from the dinner table. And I look at Mike and I'm like, I can't. I want to surrender the timer because I just want to get up now. But I can't surrender the timer because that doesn't teach her anything good here. So
emotional
now I have
regulation.
To sit here for 4 minutes while they scream at they both from both ends. I have a dog literally barking at me and my daughter on the other side being like, get up from the table. You're done with dinner. And I just have to sit here and eat, just waiting for the Google timer to go off.
I can see your face just like complete donut glaze, but like twitching at the eye.
No, literally. And Mike was like, what are we going to do? And this is why I bring it up. He's like, what are we going to do when there's another human here?
I'm okay,
like,
hold on though.
Okay.
This is where I go back to what I said in the beginning. You're thinking of right now. When are you due? October.
Right.
Okay. So you're thinking of July.
Yeah.
It will not be like this.
Well, and that's what I said.
Yes, good.
I said to him.
That's what I said.
That's what I said. Because my toxic trait and coping mechanism recently is knowing how nurturing my daughter is and how bossy she is. I'm really holding on to this older daughter, older sibling persona that I think she has in her. And I think by the time the baby is not a potato – we're gonna be right in between 2.5 and 3 years old. Yeah. And I think that girl, I think she's gonna be sitting there like, no, mommy and daddy are still eating dinner. So you have to wait. And she's really gonna thrive on that, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, that's what I'm holding out for. I'm like, I'm not gonna worry about that until it's a problem to worry about, because I think she's gonna do the parenting at that
point. She'll be babysitting. She'll be the first 2.5-year-old to pick up an 8-pound newborn.
Yeah, dead. I got it, mommy. You finished dinner.
Oh, man. So, of course, they grounded in that. And, of course, they grounded in the reality that, yeah, there will be a situation just like that where you add in another radio station of a newborn crying. And I remember the dinner days where, like, I would stand for 5 minutes and Ryan would eat and then we would switch, right? And it's, you figure it out and you know each day is not the same. And yeah. Flash forward a couple months later, everyone is sitting at the dinner and now we're throwing food on the floor, right? So it's mm-hmm. just this whole evolution of knowing that each day is truly and quite literally not the same.
Yep. So there we go.
Okay, another piece to highlight as it relates to multiplication, and then we'll pivot into an empathy moment that I'm excited to share with you. Okay, the physical touch you encounter multiplies. It happens all the time, but if you know that you're sensitive to people touching you, and physical touch is my love language. I love being yeah. touched. We talked about this so many times. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't want to be touched by even the couch. I don't even yeah. want to be touched by anything.
I have to strip off all my clothes and get into a shower.
I only want to be touched by burning hot water. So you figure out that there's more room on your lap, of course, for another. But at the same time, there are a lot of physical needs that will require you to multiply in ways that some times feel impossible. And that's just another thing to navigate and juggle and figure out. And if one kid wants to be picked up and you can't pick up both, like, you have to navigate that.
What do you do? Like, well, what are some yeah. what's the language that you use, and like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So I try internally to kind of prioritize, like, who's having the harder time. In that moment, like, if they're right. both really upset, let's not use like the baseline, we just want to cuddle together. That one's a little bit easier to navigate. And I'm kind of also reflecting back, because my 5-year-old, like, doesn't, you know, he's not carried anymore. So I'm thinking yeah. back to like the 3-year-old days and the 1-year-old days. If my littlest one was like really having such a hard time and I had to carry him, like, I'll name it. I feel like the power of naming, we always come back to that. That yeah. is truly like the silver bullet answer for everything. Like, so-and-so is having a really hard time right now. I'm going to spend right now holding him and we're just going to rock. And then I promise I will hold you after that and we will have our time to rock. Thank you so much for understanding.
Yeah.
Great. And then I'll like try to mental note, like, the next time during a calm moment, I'll try to go to the older one first. And be like, my arms are free if you want a hug, or if you want me to carry you, or we could do a silly dance together. My arms are free. So it just continuing to name that, and also gives them a great opportunity to like read the room too.
Yeah. That's so important. Yeah. Again, the naming of it all too. It's just yes. so hard, because I think, like, you know, it strategically or like tactically, like, okay, that all makes sense. But like, then add in postpartum hormones
exactly.
and like the emotional yep. factor. And again, each day is not the same. What happened the day before that the kids don't remember, but you do.
Yes.
Or even hours before, you yes. know, that you might be still carrying on your mama heart. Like, then you're like, oh, it's so hard, right?
It's all multiplied. Yeah. It is all multiplied for better or for worse, right? The insane love that you feel for your new child that you can't imagine life without, even though before they were born, you're like, how can I love someone the same way that I love my first? And then you realize, holy moly, there's this insane depth of just gratitude for what you had, but also like pretty profound depths of sadness too, for being like, wait, what we had was really good and now this feels new, and newness feels different, and different is just something that I have to get used to. And then all of a sudden the newness doesn't feel new anymore.
Right.
It's just familiar. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot that that was even hard.
Yeah.
You're just in it in a different way. So Dr. Becky has such a great take on this empathy moment for your kid as you're about to transition from one to two. She's like, imagine your partner came to you. Have you heard this before? Mm-mm. Imagine your partner came to you and said, I'm going to get a second wife. And it's going to be amazing. And we're going to be one big happy family. And you're going to be the big wife. And together. And we're going to take pictures with the new wife. And we're going to go on adventures with the new wife. And bedtime. Oh, bedtime. Yes. The new wife will be there at bedtime. And you're just like, wait. Right? And I love that take on it because it personalizes it to you. Like, hold on, I don't want anyone else.
Yeah.
So yes, there's going to be these gush worthy moments when your babies meet for the first time and all is incredible, but underneath the surface you have to have some empathy for your child about what they're also going through too, as a two-year-old or a three-year-old. Tell me.
I'm sobbing. Yeah, no, literally. I mean, it's so hard.
I know. But this is exactly the purpose of this conversation, because you're about to rock their world.
No, I know.
Like, just objectively. These are objective 100%. Changes. But when I tell you my five-year-old cannot remember a time without his little brother.
Right.
He can't. He's like, what do you mean he was never here? I remember he was in your belly, but he was still here.
Totally.
So
it's funny because, like, I don't have, like, right now I haven't been having that hard of a time with, like, this particularly because I feel very fortunate that my daughter is, like, truly obsessed with babies and upset and always really has been, but, like, in practice too, like, she really does like, we have the same cousin I was talking about with the peaches. They have he's about 4 months old now, and we've been seeing them a lot this summer, and, like, my daughter's obsessed. She is constantly, like, I'll hold him. He was napping on me on 4th of July or last weekend, and she was coming over and patting him, and then when he woke up, she was like, let's give him a bottle. Like, she went inside and helped make the bottle.
She's
with the cousin.
So nurturing.
And, like, she's so nurturing, and there's, like, and I know it's different because it's not her brother, but, like, there's zero amount of, like, jealousy or anything. Like, she really just wants to help and, like, loves the babies and talks about them. And then when we talk about her baby brother, I know there's only a certain level of what she can actually understand, but, like, what she can, she does. And, like, she talks about baby brother. She talks about, like, to other people too. Like,
yeah. She's excited.
She's really, really excited. And she, like, her room that I was so nervous about switching over, she, like, walked by and she's like, that's baby brother's room now. Like, baby brother's going to sleep in there. Like, so we really talk about it so often. And she really seems to be, like, really genuinely excited about it. And then the other night, this is going to make me emotional, but, like, I just thought of it because you were saying that. The other night we were talking about, breastfeeding. God, this made me so emotional. Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
We were talking about breastfeeding. It was so random, honestly. And she said, honestly grabbed my boob and I, like, shrieked. And, you know, like, we talk, like, very anatomically about things and whatever. And she was like, I think I was just like, what's wrong? I was like, she grabbed my boobie. It hurt. Like, and she's like, oh, my boobie's butt. And, like, It just like evolved into a conversation about, like, oh, like, baby brother will, you know, there's baby bottles, and then there's bottles that baby, like, her baby cousin has. And then, you know, there's a chance mommy might also breastfeed, which is, like, and I used your language of, like, mommies, like, can feed babies.
Yeah.
With their boobies, essentially.
Mamas can feed babies with their boobies.
Yeah. And, like, that's one way to feed a baby. And then they also can have bottles and, like, kind of just, like, having this conversation. And, you know, I was like, I don't know what how baby brother will like to be fed, but, like, that might be one of them.
Yeah.
And she, like, didn't really ask any questions, and then just, like, got very, like, was, like, wanted just to move on to the next thing, and then just got upset, like, very sad. Oh, and started really? Crying, but, like, not, like, immediately when talking about it, like, very, like, almost, like, a mature response was kind of just, yeah. like, I don't like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she was like, no. And she just pretended she was crying. And she just kept being like, no, I just don't want to do this any. Like, whatever we were doing, she wanted to move on from. And she's like, no, I'm done. And, like, had this, like, kind of, like, big girl reaction to be, like, something processing. And
yeah, her probably, exactly.
I don't know if this is too advanced to think, but, like, probably, like, oh, that's not something I could do with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, that's not something I thought about. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a big girl reaction. It, like,
yeah, it really was.
She processed. She will continue to process. And I'm also curious to see, like, when you are feeding the baby, like, what's yeah. her response to it? I'm sure she'll be really curious, yeah. but also, like, maybe has some things to share as it relates to that. Like, it's new. Yeah. It's new.
And as I'm saying it out loud, like, it could have also just been, like, genuinely – because she's so excited to, like, help and do things. Like, maybe she was just like, well, I can't do that. Like,
yeah,
maybe it was been. Like, well, I was going to give him his bottles. Like, that could have been where it was from, and not yeah. like a jealousy thing. But yeah, I don't know. I went on a tangent because it really brought me to that. But, like, just it was really like an empathy moment of me being like, okay, like, I clocked it. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to, like, talk about baby brother for a couple days. Like, I was just like, I was like, I need, like, ooh, that didn't make her feel great. And yeah. I need to, like, rethink about that a little bit.
It's that process. It's the empathy moment.
Yeah.
Like, again, you're the big wife. Yeah, come back really to that. Aren't you hysterical. So proud to be the bigger wife? Like, when people like, say that, bitch. Like, wait, I'm so proud. No, I'm not fucking proud of that. But anyway, no.
I just want things exactly be. How they are.
Exactly. So it's so new. It's so much newness for their little brains and their little hearts and your big brain and your big heart. And
yeah.
Remember, each day is not the same for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had some fun. I know we did like a just wait trend a couple weeks ago yeah. on Instagram, but I had more specifics for the transition from one
Let's
to two.
It.
So I want to share that with you. So I know, like, right now you're thinking about, like, what to name your baby and, like, will it go with your daughter's name and all these things. But just friggin' wait until you hear your daughter say his name. It is so emotional. It is so emotional to hear, like, it's so personalized. Because how many, like, you're throwing around so many yeah. names, right? And then yeah. when you decide and baby's born and they meet for the first time and you hear that name come out of their mouth, it's unbelievable.
Did you, when you guys were going through names, did you share with your oldest, like, what? So he didn't know his brother's name no. until he was born?
Correct. We even didn't, like, share options. Anything. Nope.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And he's, like, loose lips sink ships. Like, he was yeah. sharing. And we didn't really want anyone else's, you know.
Got it. Yeah, peanut yeah.
gallery
that's
opinion.
Fair. That's fair, yeah.
So we didn't. But I definitely know, like, some people who do, which yeah. is adorable.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing just wait. And then on the flip side of that, most people don't think about this, but just wait until your baby that you're about to give birth
oh,
to
yeah.
says your daughter's name.
Yeah, that's really special.
I bawled. Absolutely bawled. And my older son's name is a name like you could just repeat over and over and over again, and it has like a fun vowel, and he would just say it like 50 times, and I'd be like, this is amazing.
Oh, so sweet.
Right? Like, you don't think about yeah. those things, but just wait until that happens. It's amazing. Okay, I have some more. Just wait. We kind of talked about this, but like, just wait until your older kiddo really feels like they have their own baby in their yeah. younger sibling, which is your daughter's going to thrive because she's
yeah.
so nurturing
oh my God, yeah.
with that. Just wait until your oldest can read a book to your little one. Melted, bald, snotting down the hallway.
She's going to be doing it in the hospital. She's already reading books to us. So, like, she makes us sit on the floor and she sits in her chair and she reads Llama Llama Meet the Babysitter. A baby, what? That's not the same. Does the sitter even have a name? Like, is she reading?
That That's amazing. Yeah. So she's going to love it. And you could even have her like now pick out some books to bring to baby brother's room that she's excited to read him. Like that helps the momentum of just like getting excited, helping the newness, getting into that room too. It's so.
Yeah. That's a great idea, actually. Like go through her books and pick out the baby books. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait until your little one lights up at the sight of your oldest.
Oh my God.
Melt, because they're potatoes until they're not potatoes.
Yeah.
And then they get so excited. And still, every time when we wake up in the morning, there's usually one that wakes up first. And then when they see each other, like down at the breakfast table, it's like this rejoice every morning. It's so cute.
So sweet.
But like, you don't think about those things as you're kind of swamped around like all this newness and it's going to be hard and this and that. No, no, just wait for that. Because you're going to get there and you're going to melt. Just wait until they give each other hugs and kisses and cuddles and have like these cute little jokes together that I am on the outside of. Literally, they'll be like, no, mom, that's not for you. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm fired from the job. And speaking of fired from the job, the reason that you pour all of you into potty training your first is because just wait until your oldest teaches the younger one how to use the potty.
Fabulous.
Like, I'm happily fired from that job.
I wonder how that will be with two different sexes. Genders.
Yeah. Totally different.
Honestly, though, who knows? I could see her being like, come on, baby brother.
Yeah. You can sit to pee. And then your daughter's going to be like, but I want to stand to pee.
Yeah, no. I think my daughter and I are just going to probably just tap out entirely and just be like, you know what? This feels like a boy thing.
Yeah.
This feels like a boy's thing. Like, we'll we don't really know how to do that. Yeah. We're just going to focus on what we know best, which is sitting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. You do you. Potty rock. Yeah, I guess you guys can't do potty rock. You guys, me. I'm just surrounded by such testosterone.
Oh God, we gotta get that episode on the books.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we're taking on potty learning in a couple weeks.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, it's very pertinent. Very pertinent. Okay, I think that was all of my just waits, but just come back to that when things feel hard.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important, and you and I being positive realists, like, I think on the pod, we're, like, very good about talking about all of it, right?
Yeah.
And genuine. Good point. And, like, generally, we're also going to be, like, taking the positive lens, and then, like, when you're at home, like, you have a tough day, it's like, woof. But, like, generally speaking, you and I are the ones that, like, will sit here and be like, okay, like, today was a tough day, but that was today.
Yeah.
Full and moon like, status. I'm not inheriting it. I'm not attaching to it. Like,
name it.
There were also like beautiful glimmers of the day too. And I think that's what all of those just suites are about. Is
totally.
That, like, we can get really bogged down into like, how will the logistics work and how will you multiply this and my routine's gonna look different and you know it's already hard now, so how it's gonna be hard then. But it's like, right? And
you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I think that's also the hardest part or one of the hardest parts about parenthood are all of those shifts in such a condensed period of time. Mm. Like I'll have one of those, mommy is feeling angry right now. Can you hear it in my voice that my voice has changed and you've received two reminders or something like that? And then literally 15 seconds later, one of them could do the cutest friggin' thing with the other one. And I'm like, and here we go again. Like it's just these ups, super high highs and super low lows in such a condensed period of time, which I think makes it such a mind effing two truths, no lies, beautiful, crazy, wild ride.
It's like, and it's just so wild how different it is from the newborn days too, because it's like in the newborn days, like the highs and lows, like the valleys are like weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, immediate, maybe they're 24 hours at a time, but like, it's kind of like, You're learning like weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Like how it goes.
Right.
Right now, it's like transition at a time. Like it is like
literally.
I have never felt more frustrated in my life, But now that the diaper has been changed, we're all good.
Oh, like feels so much lighter.
Oh my God. And I have four more transitions to get through in the next 30 minutes. But like for right now, I can breathe. Like, yes.
It's so true.
Getting out, like doing hair. Like I am so true, true, small eyes. I love having a little girl. I love it. I love it. I love that my daughter has the most stunningly beautiful hair like her dad. She got that thick, curly hair. It's amazing. Doing hair in the morning, like, it is just not something people talk about. Or maybe it's maybe she's the only one that, like.
No, that thought is, nope, kiboshing it. You're not.
I want Miss Kim to do my hair. I'm like, well, your hair is still done from Miss Kim yesterday, and I will not be judged at drop-off. So we are brushing your hair.
Sit your tush down. That is like, too funny.
Come on, let's go. And then it's like, then the hair gets done. I'm like, all right, I have about 45 seconds until I have to remind her that we'll have to put on our bathing suit.
Oh my gosh.
In yeah, 4 minutes. And I'm going to enjoy this like peace and the smiles and like the good energy we got going right now.
Yeah. Ride that wave as long as you can. But wait, you bring up a great point, which is a perfect segue into like continuing to lower and manage your own expectations. Mm-hmm. Always. But especially during the multiple kiddo transition.
Tell me more.
So listen, everyone is going to progress in some way, mm-hmm. apropos of what we were just talking about. And everyone is going to regress too. Mm-hmm. And that's expected. Both are true. Both are going to happen. Those are two paths that are going to happen simultaneously. Some might even use some aggression. Mm-hmm. Hitting and acting out and saying mean things. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Whether it's grown up or whether it's a little child. The takeaway message, though, right, is that they're trying to communicate, like, I'm upset. Something doesn't feel right to me. And this is how I'm going to communicate that. And they need help to communicate it and to be seen and heard and validated in some way. So use those hard moments, lower your expectations and manage them that they're going to happen, and use the data from them to figure out if there is something that can be changed and made better in some capacity, but expect it.
So important.
Huge. Because if you're not expecting it, that's just being an idiot. FI.
Literally. I mean, it goes back to like what we were saying before about like the first, being a first time parent, a second time parent too. It's just right. Like, manage your expectations. Like,
you have to
just give it your best shot.
Right. And you're gonna like, get on the other side whether you don't give it your best shot or you give it your best shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So do that and know that if your oldest is struggling in some capacity or there's a regression, whatever that means, you know, I don't love that word. It's a software update, whether it's for better or for worse.
Progression,
right. They're learning how to be an older sibling. Yeah. There's no playbook for that yet. Yeah. There's no playbook for you to support that yet. Mm-hmm. But there will be. And the moments when you can remind them of you were just you first, mm-hmm. kind of like when we say husband and wife before mom and dad, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah. So like to increase connection with them is really important. I remember I would take my oldest on croissant dates and we would like find cute little new bakeries around and we would go for 30 minutes. Of course, you need support and help and there's, you know, so many other implications there. But carving out that one-on-one like connection time with your oldest really, really helped during the transition.
I was watching a clip on Instagram the other day and it was from a podcast with a mom and a daughter and like adult daughter,
love
obviously.
That.
And she had four children. The mother had four children and she was asking about this routine that they did at bedtime. The daughter was asking about this routine they would do at bedtime, like all growing up, like even when they were teenagers, where I forget what she would call it, but she would call it like, she had a specific name for like the time they would call it. And it would basically be like every kid got 15 minutes during bedtime to just sit with mom one-on-one.
Love that.
And she's like, when we were younger, it kind of started as a place of like bedtime was a lot. Like it was a lot with four kids. And it was like everyone needed me and I couldn't be four places at once. So it was like a way to be like, you will get that time with me. And not for nothing, kids at that age are delaying bedtime for so why not meet them where they are and just like carve out the delay,
right?
Like, give them what they're asking for, which is like just time to sit and cuddle and talk for 15 minutes about whatever you want, and it's has like your siblings aren't involved, it's just you and me. And then as time progressed over the years, like that would be when like they would share like things that maybe they had, they just knew they had that time with her every day, and she would, things that they would think on during the day or that they wanted to talk about or not talk about or whatever. So
I love that.
I really like pocketed that because like me, my daughter is a huge bedtime procrastinator. And I was like, that's something that, you know, number one, we can like start now.
Exactly.
But also like, I just feel like would really benefit her in the long run rather than being like so stringent on like, we're all going to do bedtime together.
Right.
Because that's something I think about often.
Yeah. I think you have to kind of ride the wave and try out a couple of different things in the moment and know that when baby boy is really little, it's going to be different. And because there is no bedtime for a couple of months.
Exactly.
And then when there is bedtime, your oldest is older and not in the same routine as she is now. So that's, again, no day. Each day is not the same. But, you know, in that vein, something that we just started, which like kind of is the procrastination, but I take it on. Mm-hmm. I'll say, so we do bedtime together because that works for us right now, meaning we'll put my youngest down and then I'll have like 15 minutes with my oldest after that to read a book. We usually just do one book in one room and then one book in another room. But now I started to say like, hey, is it okay if we read one more book instead of him asking me?
That's really sweet.
And it makes a huge difference to getting him in to bed and like turning out the light, putting on his Tony box. And he, I feel like it just, because it didn't come from him and he didn't have to hear like, no, we're just doing one book tonight. I'm like, I'm the one bending the rules a little bit.
Yeah,
and I'm asking him permission.
I love that.
So you like figure out those crevices, but they change quickly.
Yeah, like that wouldn't have worked 6 months ago. Say.
Absolutely
like,
not. Yeah, absolutely not. So it all changes. Meet them where they are.
Love it.
The sleep deprivation we talked a little about before, but like just the perfect storm here of like the sleep deprivation, the hormonal roller coaster, the fact that you still have like a normal day to day with your oldest. And now there's also a little, you know, person. Makes all of this new. So getting into the groove just takes time. So just underscoring and highlighting that part. Give yourself the grace. You have to.
I feel like we have to carve out space for like a Medal of Honor though, because in regards to that, can you just give our listeners before we wrap up a little window into what your immediate postpartum looked like with your son?
Oh, yes.
Your
How
two sons.
Shall we forget? Yeah. So my second was born, and 2 weeks later, we all got COVID. And I was told to sequester him. This is January of 2023, so, like, still, you know, height. We're not, like, completely over the pandemic at that point.
Yeah.
So the pediatrician told me to sequester him away in his nursery for 10 days. I was like, excuse me? What? We had to wear N95s. It was crazy. I could cry about this, but like we couldn't kiss his cheeks for 10 days. Like, I feel like that time was lost.
And at what point during that journey did your second get injured?
Yeah, correct. So we all got over COVID, and then, well, the baby didn't get it, thank God. So my husband got it, my oldest got it, and I got it. And then a week later, my oldest son broke his leg and was in a cast for a month.
And like, so couldn't go to daycare, right? Because he was in a cast or something.
Yeah, so we kept him out of school the month of January when he was born, when my youngest was born, just to like try to minimize the risk and protect the bubble as much as possible. But I, in hindsight, I wish I'd sent him to school to keep his routine and to give me some breathing room too. and my husband breathing room.
Because so if I'm doing the math, like you kept him home intentionally because of that.
Correct.
Also, and you guys were sick, so there was that.
Yeah, so that and brought us to February.
When he was supposed to go back, was he broke, when he his, broke leg. His leg.
Yeah, so he was home until March, which is when I went back to work. Literally insane. I remember like crying, holding my newborn, holding my 2.5-year-old who had a big red cast on his leg. I literally was holding both of them, going up and down the stairs, being like, I actually don't think I'm fully healed yet. So there's that.
You definitely aren't.
But I gave myself some grace and I'm on the other side.
I just have this vivid image of him, like, dragging his cast.
Yes. You visited when his leg was broken, right?
Yeah. And him just, like, just hobbling and dragging it along. And you guys have this newborn. I'm, like, and I'm, like, about to give birth. And, like, I'm, like,
oh my God,
8 months pregnant with my first. And I'm,
oh,
like,
oh, my God. Yeah. Poor guy. He couldn't even walk. Well, we knew it was broken because he was crawling. I was like, oh, cool. I'm trying to avoid this. So, like, you're crawling.
I think there might be something wrong.
Something's not right.
Because I'm picturing, like, anyone who doesn't have kids, like, that might be hard to conceptualize, but I'm picturing my 2.5-year-old, like, crawling. We'd be like,
what? And you know, we play. You know, we play music after dinner and they run around our island. So at that time, the song.
He was crawl running around the island.
He was crawling. At that time, the song was We Are the Champions by Queen. And he's literally crawling around the island. But then there was this amazing moment when he got his cast and then he learned to walk on it like 2 weeks later. He ran around the island to We Are the Champions.
Oh, what a moment. Full circle.
I have a video. I'll have to send it to you. It's so funny. Do. Oh, man. But yeah, so everyone's postpartum experience is unique. It's new. You figure out the groove.
Listen, when plan A doesn't work, we go to plan B or That's C it. Or 7A. But
7-B.
Literally. Thank you so much for downloading all this. And on that note, let's make sure that anyone who's listening right now, especially pertaining to that, like go back and listen to Transition to 1 to 2 Kiddos, because like all I can also think about is given that like January to March that you just described with your second, like thank God you had the scaffolding you did from all the stuff we discussed in the first episode
totally.
On this. Like
totally. Thank
all,
heavens.
Like, the preparation and like all of just, you know, because that was like, again, the logistic, the concrete stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
That I'm sure, while didn't make it easier, like definitely assisted if you hadn't done that.
Totally. So. Totally. And listen, like having a sibling is so beautiful and amazing. Yeah. And it's not mutually exclusive from stress and frustration and distress. Two truths, no lies. But remember, this also builds resilience.
Yeah.
Like that is the space literally where distress forms into emotional regulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's being built. Grit is being built. That's where growth is being built. So tolerate the discomfort and help other people around you, big or small, tolerate it too, because that's where the resilience building is. You can be so quick to try to make it better, but actually it's not helping.
Yeah.
It's just making it worse. So there will never be another day like this if it's hard. And there will never be another day like this if it's easy. So be anchored in both of those things, the good, the hard, the in-between.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so happy to have your big sis advice here and to download all of this. I'm going to go back and listen to Transition to 1 to 2 Kiddos. Mike and I were just saying yesterday, we have a gift card to FAO Schwartz that was very generous from his boss for our daughter's birthday this year. And I was like, you know what? We should go in like September, just the three of us, and we can have her pick out her gift to baby brother. We can have her pick out the gift that baby brother's gonna give her.
Beautiful.
We'll probably have to get something else that day, of course.
I mean
that she can actually use like that day. But I was like, just in thinking about timing and everything, like, and just, you know, and that was a nugget from your first episode. So I'm still thinking on all the things and checking all the boxes. So,
and you can't do it all, but you could do certain things to make just it all a little bit easier.
sure can.
Oh, I love chit-chatting. I cannot wait
to
support you through it and be there as a sounding board. And again, you're going to look back and be like, wait, I remember it just being us three. And that was really amazing. Well, plus your amazing dogs, of course. But
yeah.
You can't fathom life without.
I know. It's crazy to think about.
I know.
It really is. I'm so excited.
It's emotional and exciting.
And I can't imagine that we're going to be like a year from now recording and be like, looking back at these puffy clips of me and just like, oh my God, that was a year ago. Like, that's crazy. You know, I just can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be so great to have all these archived. I think about that too. Like a year ago today, the episodes like that we recorded, and the kids are so different.
So different. So
because each day is not the same.
One more time. Let's hear it for the people
louder
in the back.
For the people in the back.
All right. Well, on that note, you all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment, share this with any of your friends that might be transitioning or thinking of transitioning to multiple kiddos. And go back and listen to Transition from 1 to 2 Kiddos. We'll link it in the description here because I don't remember the exact number on it. Same. So we'll just link it, make it easy Great for idea. Everyone. And that's it.
That's it, my girl. Love you so much. Much.
Give yourself a big ol' smooch.
A multiple transition smooch.
Love you, bye.